Well, great to be back with you. Our Friday night into Saturday morning open lines. Lots going on today. We're not going to be using your text messages today, primarily because Tom has been out for about a week, and he's locked up his text phone somewhere in his office, and we can't find it. We don't know where it is, but he pulled his shoulder muscle, and he's been in excruciating pain for about a week, poor guy. So put him on the prayer list, and let's see if we can get him better and get him back to work. But Dave Hines has been filling in, and he's the person who's fielding your calls and doing a great job doing that. No general topics tonight, just pure open lines. However, I do want to talk with you about pure evil, and if any of you want to share that portion of your stories with us, go ahead, because I think sometime in our life we have seen it. Just pure evil from people who just, I don't know, there's just something wrong with them. They just aren't happy people. But share your story, and we'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, we've got a full bank of phone calls for you, and let's get right to it. These hours just fly by as this year is flying by. We've got to do a show on time and what's happening to it. Let's go to Gary, truck driving in West Virginia, to get us started. Hello, Gary. Good morning to you, sir.
Thank you, George. On July the 20th, 1969, I celebrated my 10th birthday, so you don't have to wonder what I wanted to grow up and be. But the question I've got is that I actually had grandparents, aunts, and uncles that passed away believing that was all our big hope, that we really didn't land on the moon, you know, and all that stuff. So I used to think, well, if that had happened, you know, in this time period, you know, with all the, well, what got me to thinking is your comment last night on your show where you said that the smartphone that you had in your hand had more computer brains than what that had.
That's right.
So I got to think, well, you know, if it happened now, maybe more people would have believed, and it would have been, you know, such a hard jump for them. But today I was in the break room, and Pictures was on the national news about the flyby of Pluto. And people that defended the moon landing, saying that we really did do it, are the same people now that's saying that's just a big hoax, that, you know, we really don't have anything that went all the way out there to Pluto. So I'm confused as to how you could defend one and not believe the other.
Well, that's a good point. I got to tell you, I think, one, we did go to the moon, and we've got a mission that is going to Pluto as well. We've got space probes all over the solar system. They're everywhere. They're Saturn. They're you know, jumping on asteroids and dwarf planets and Mars. They're everywhere. We've shot some out near the sun to do stuff like that. But in terms of going to the moon, you know, there were some interesting paradoxes about that. You know, the size of the Eagle lander, how could a man get in it and get out of it with those heavy air packs and things that they were wearing and stuff? But we went. There's no question in my mind. We went. We had a lot of people devoted to that space program. We had some astronauts that died in Apollo 1. I know one astronaut specifically, Edgar Mitchell from Apollo 14, who went to the moon. He's not lying. He's not lying to me. He's not lying to anybody else. We went to the moon. I would bet the ranch on that one. I think they had some photographs that they put on a set. As you remember, during the days that Cronkite was doing his thing, they had simulations of stuff that you could take pictures of or video. And they did that, and I think some people have probably got that mixed up. Maybe some of those pictures got tossed in with the moon pictures. I mean, God knows where some of the moon rocks and samples have gone. But we went to the moon. Let's go to David, Fairbanks, Alaska. Hi, Dave. Welcome to the program, sir.
Hi, George. I just have one comment and then a question. My first comment is I'm really looking forward to Coast to Coast, and October is only a few months away.
I was just thinking about that, David. Right before you called during the break, I was looking at my calendar here in the cave, and I'm saying, a couple more months, it's going to be Ghost to Ghost time. This is unbelievable. It's funny you would bring that up.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's really, but I'm looking forward to it. You can never have too many ghost stories on Coast to Coast. It's always a hit and always a pleasure to listen to. And it is anyway. My question for you, George, is there ever going to be a time anytime soon that you're going to have Lorraine Warren on again? I always enjoy listening to her and hearing her talks and whatnot, and she's always an amazing guest, and she hasn't been on in quite a long time, so I was wondering if she's going to be on anytime soon.
I'll talk with our producers about that, David. It's been a long time. You are absolutely right about her as a guest, and maybe it's time to bring her back. I know what we try to do is to mix it up with new guests and those who are regulars, and every once in a while we'll go back to the calendars and go, like last night we had a guest on, hasn't been on in 6 years, and that's a long time. And so, you know, we'll do that. So maybe it's time for Lorraine. Let's go to Charles in Arizona. Hey, Charles, what's up?
Good morning, George. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I wanted to call and thank you so much for the show you did June 7th. We devoted the whole show to EMP.
Yep.
And
critical to do that.
I know it is, and that's why I call. I literally took notes during the whole show and listened to the repeat of it as well. But I think the thing people need to remember is, if we want to get something done, we have to do it now. The only time we have any power over these politicians is during an election. If we don't have something at least started before they're comfortably ensconced behind the desk, it's not going to happen.
That's right.
I mean, how many times has this come so close but been killed by one guy in a committee that's supported by the Transmission Line Association?
Mm-hmm.
I get so discouraged sometimes. I like to cry, but I think I'm all cried out. People think that just because it's been a background issue, you know, publicity-wise, that it's not that important. But the report that came out in 2004, it was released the same day as the 9/11 Commission. So, you know, and it didn't receive any attention at all. And the attack in San Jose, like your guest said, that was professional.
We've talked about it. Yep.
And in my opinion, that was a test. You know, if they just take out one state, California is one of the world's leading economies. And it's, you know, everything else is moot. I have an understanding of what this is going to be like. I had to survive down here in one of the hottest places in the country for 9 months. Every day I'd have to get up with the sun, go across the freeway and get ice in my water cooler.
Oh, it's a pain, isn't it? You'll do whatever you have to do to survive, but it's a pain, Charles.
Well, yeah. Well, see, the thing is, if we lose power, I mean, like we would in an attack, there would be no ice. And I had to do that every day for 9 months until I got power down
Jeez,
here.
Jeez, that's amazing.
It would kill me now. I wouldn't be able to do it. But
it would kill 90% of the American population. Look, I've pledged this to you, that we're not going to give up. We're going to pound away at this until we get some legislation that passes some kind of a bill that protects our power grid. Thank God some individual states are starting to do it, where they'll be okay. You know, the rest of the nation will crumble down, but they'll be okay. But, you know, who knows what would happen after that. But we've got to get Washington to wake up and simply say, we're going to do it. I don't understand why any of these millions of presidential candidates that are flocking to run just don't simply come across and say things that are important to us like that. We're going to protect the power grid. That's my platform. Vote for me. We're going to do away with the Internal Revenue Service. We're going to come up with a fair tax or some other source. That's my platform. Vote for me. I just don't understand. I don't get it. You know, they're just bought off by these big corporations. Paul is in Seattle, Washington, west of the Rockies. Hey, Paul. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, good morning. Oh, you don't have to call me, sir, George. I work for a living. Old Army joke. George, I'm going to go back. I want to just make a comment on what you said earlier about evil. I have met some pure evil people. But the one thing that people got to remember is that usually evil will always come to you, I'd say about 90% of the time, in a good form. It'll promise you things. And I'm not talking just politics. I'm talking everything. It'll come into you. It's a good form. You get seduced by it. And then anything starts to happen, then you practice it, and then or whatever it is, just be careful. But George, I want to go back to one of your, I think it's one of your favorite subjects. What happened? What's the update on the Malaysian plane or any of the missing planes?
Absolutely, that plane MH370 is gone, disappeared March 8th, well over a year ago, and it's simply gone. And you know what? I don't even think they're conducting investigations to try to find it anymore. We have concluded in our book someone is hiding something, that the plane landed somewhere and was probably taken out because it had to be taken out. It was going to be used as a weapon of mass destruction. It's the strangest story and will go down in history as the strangest plane disappearance, I think, ever. I do not believe they're searching for it anymore. That should tell you volumes of what they think they might know. I had a source that was telling me that the Israelis, the Mossad, are equivalent of this. They're equivalent of the CIA. They know exactly what happened. The engines, I'm told, had their own tracking devices on them, not just listening for the pings of the black boxes, which they never found, but that the engines throw off their own search alarm. So they know. They know exactly where that plane was, and they had to do what they had to do with it, and they just have elected not to tell us. Simple as that. I don't know why countries simply don't say, look, plane was taken, this is how it happened, and we were not going to permit it to be in the hands of these people, and we took it out. Just tell us that. I think a lot of people would understand. Robert's in New York and now on Coast to Coast. Hi, Robert. You with us? Nope. Going once, going twice. Goodbye, Robert. But let's go to Howard, who apparently is in an undisclosed location. Howard, are you with us? Go ahead.
Yes, and I would appreciate it very kindly if you not reveal the undisclosed location.
I don't know where your undisclosed location is, so I can't reveal.
Mr. Coase, we're well aware of the technical capabilities of any given radio station anywhere in this country.
And we don't have that.
There must be some tracking situations that are available on your station.
Not by us, sorry.
Well, I had a little question, Mr. Coase, that I wanted to raise. It occurred to me in one of your earlier broadcasts that there's a question about the Bigfoot Sasquatch creature.
Well, you know, we always do programs about it, and there's always been some question about what it is and where it is. But go ahead. Where are you going?
Well, I mean, if it's a creature, a flesh and blood creature, even if it's an extraterrestrial or an Anunnaki-type creature, they must have mating habits. If they have mating habits, perhaps these creatures reproduce the way most mammals would reproduce.
I agree with that.
So that means they must have young ones. Now, I would like to know, Mr. Coase, where are the young ones? Where are the baby Sasquatches? How come no evidence has ever surfaced of a baby Sasquatch? That's the question that I have, which tells me there may be a possible cover-up.
Well, there's probably been no evidence of the big Sasquatches either.
Well, that's not true. There's footprints all over the goddamn place. We know that it's a fact. There's Bigfoot creatures.
Well, you know what I mean. I'm talking about, you know, the carcass, the bones, things like that. We have had witnesses have reported seeing small Sasquatch, small Bigfoot, which could have been children. Well, there was a case of a woman who claims that they were throwing rocks at her house.
Well, so I understand. They're throwing rocks everywhere, these creatures, especially if you get into their territorial domain.
Sure. Sure.
What I'm interested in is why do they not have young ones that are apparently photographed, like in that famous film that we all know so much about? If that film is certainly authentic. My sources have told me so.
I believe they are real. I mean, I believe that's real, and I believe the creatures are real. I mean,
so why are they trying to say that there was an Apollo fraud cover-up in July the 20th, 1969.
Oh, who knows? I don't agree with that. I have no idea why these people
I heard some lady, or maybe she's part of your staff, or whoever it was, I heard on the radio saying that this was some kind of a Capricorn 1 situation. I can tell you that's not true.
Of course it's not true. I don't think anybody on our station, of our staff, thinks we did not go to the moon. Now, let me ask you a question, though. You're talking about a Bigfoot, and that's a great subject. I don't think it's particularly controversial. Why do you want an undisclosed location when you call in? Is there some other reason why?
Mr. Koss, we have to be real here. We live in an age of mass surveillance. We're talking about large-scale surveillance, most of it coming out of Utah, that NSA situation over there that they built. We have to be very careful about who we speak with. And people who may or may not be listening right now, what you need to do is maintain a very low internet blueprint, a very low internet footprint out there, Mr. Cook, because if you don't, there's going to be records going way the heck back that you're never going to be able to expunge. That's why I'm in the undisclosed location, just like that baby Sasquatch. It's out there. And I think it's being covered up. And I think you know more than you're saying.
No, I wish I did. I wish I did. Sometimes, Howard, you got to trust some people. If I knew where Bigfoot was, I'd be one of the first to be broadcasting that. Trust me. Do we have time for another call? Yeah, we'll try Gordon in Lakeland, Florida. Go ahead, Gordon.
I want to support your call for hardening the grids. I have a 2-year electronic degree, and I was a valedictorian. And I want to tell you that the really long wires, the longer the wires can pick up electromagnetic changes, and we've already seen that just with the solar flares. So and I called my congressman, Dennis Ross, and I urge others to call their state and federal. And also, I want to slip in a quick comment. I don't mean to call Gordon Asher Davison. I'm Gordon Wayne Watts. I'm a different Gordon. Okay, I don't mean to call him a liar. But with all due respect, both the Bible and what our eyes and our ears see and hear, the world has a lot of bad things in it, divorce, cancer. We have a whole bunch of things. We're sitting on nuclear war. Things are getting worse. There's the population. We're approaching our carrying capacity. There's a lot of bad things out there, and for him to not see them is intellectually dishonest or an honest mistake. Something is not right there.
Well, I wouldn't say dishonest, maybe naive, because there is a lot of evil out there. We're going to come back with more in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And trust me, if I knew where Bigfoot was, I'd be broadcasting from there. Well, it's time for our shout-out. Those of you who support Coast to Coast AM all around this planet, thank you. 600 radio stations now, an all-time world record for us. Coast Insiders, thank you. And don't forget, the studio cam is coming. Sirius XM, Indy Channel 102, and then the various chat rooms that are out there. The Imaginative World, folks, Into Infinity, National Radio Club, Fantastic Forum 2, the Omega Point Chronicles, that's a new group. How about the SoCal UFO Meetup Group, the Northern Kentucky Paranormal Group? There's so many. The Hollywood Ghost Hunters and our buddy Greg the Cook in St. Louis. Thanks for supporting Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie back with you in our Friday night into Saturday morning open lines where just about anything goes. Let's go to the phones. There's Annie in Alabama. Well, 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 Annie, how are you?
Thank you, George. I just examined the biggest piece of garbage I ever saw in my life, the EMMC.
What'd you say?
The embedded multimedia card. The problem is vehicles and the grid are made of such garbage. And you can't just protect garbage with more garbage. The grid was not computerized for 100 years, and I was plenty warm.
It's an old grid.
Wasting your money.
Well, they got to do something, though, Annie. Annie, they got to do something.
You've just got to take the computers loose, George.
Cut them off, huh?
Well, the computers are not needed to generate electricity.
No, but they're there. You can hack into them. That's another problem.
There's absolutely no guarantee of anything that can protect the grid against hackers.
No, there isn't.
Protect anything against hackers for sure.
The hackers are a major problem, Annie. Huge problem. You're right about that. Let's go to Louisville, Kentucky. Hey, Paul's with us on Coast to Coast. Hey, Paul, thank you for calling.
Yes, permission to come aboard, sir.
Yes, you may. Enter.
Okay, I wanted to tell you about an area that's in the northeast of Louisville, and now that Louisville has expanded to include Jefferson County, it's about 5 to 6 air miles outside of Louisville. And from 1968 till the late 1980s, I made this area just a pet study of mine, primarily because a young girl had sat next to me. You know, we had study hall and everybody lined up. She was down the line. Well, she disappeared one day coming to school and was never heard from again. And then later on, her body was found out there in an area that's so dense with thorn thickets that you couldn't stand up. And of course, we didn't have today's forensics, and they did, I'm sure, the best they could, but they said that it was suicide, and I never believed it, and I just worked harder. And this place was so evil that in the late 1980s, I took a friend of mine, a fellow photographer out there, it's called Sleepy Hollow, by the way, and there's been a lot of people that have looked at a bridge going in there that was once a covered bridge, and I still remember when it had the wood because I was driving my 69 446 pack, and I used to get a kick out of just kind of goosing it a little bit at 40 miles an hour to break loose the rear tires, and I just thought it was funny. But
yeah,
I've never seen a place with so many strange events and such an evil nature. This guy was so profoundly affected, and he's a pretty tough guy, a martial artist. He threw up.
Huh.
And he said, "You just got to get me out of here." And I said, "Well, you know, in 10 minutes, I'll get you home. We may have blue lights behind us, and they may pull us over, but I'll get you home."
Yeah.
And I was, this was much later, and I was driving a Riviera, and not a Riviera, I'm sorry, it was a different Chevrolet, but it was a fairly fast car, and I had him home. And that a place could be this evil, and yet people live in it, and the same people pretty much seem to have controlled this area, is just incredible.
You could feel the evil, though. It was what we call pure evil.
We actually drew lines in the street and said, if we get past this line, we know we're home free. You know, it was that much demarcation. And we were walking down a dirt road somewhere around 72, 73, and we saw a couple of flashes out of the side of a car, and we thought it was just cherry bombs or something these guys were throwing out. And the next thing I heard, a bullet, you know, like a hornet, go vipping past my ear, and we dove into the brush, and I kept the shirt for a long time. It had two holes in it where it bloused out on my left side, and a bullet had went through and through that shirt. Came that close to being shot, and it would have caught me right in the spleen, and that would have been lethal out there.
Yeah, that would have been
it. There was no help. I mean, no EMS, no cell phone.
No.
And the other thing about it was it had a place marked University of Kentucky Experimental Farm, and I'm a UK graduate in commercial photography, and they said they never had a farm there. However, they did have that drug experimentation farm in Lexington, Kentucky, and they called that the drug farm, the people that went there, and I've always wondered, because that's where we talked once before, and I'll see if I can get you to recall it. That's where I had my close encounter the third time. I walked up in that rock quarry over a pile of rocks, and I saw what appeared to be a gray alien. And instead of doing anything heroic, I froze in fear. And to break out of the fear, I screamed. I just couldn't move. I was so scared. And I moved towards it, and then it ran away, and my friend heard me, and we never went out one at a time. We could hear it scuttling off, and it ran off on all fours, and it turned, and when it turned its neck, it's like it had joints like a snake, where a human doesn't have joints. And I just went down and in shock. I call it xenophobic shock.
I don't blame you.
Go ahead.
I don't blame you, Paul. I'd be baffled and God knows what if I had seen an ET-type looking creature.
It just, George, it just made me so sick. My knees were weak. I was shaking from the adrenaline all over because I couldn't make myself move. And I've always believed that the eyes were goggles because I was so close to this thing. I don't know how I got that close to it without ignoring it. I just walked up over a gravel hill and a second time I went out there to watch the meteor shower and fall with a young lady from school that wanted to see it. And we took binoculars, and they had these old rock crusher towers, and we were going to climb one, sit there, and watch for them because the sky was just incredibly clear. And I got out there, and I said, something's wrong. And I couldn't figure out what was wrong. And the wind had stopped. The night birds and animals and insects had stopped, and I gave her the keys to the car, and I said, start walking to the car, and I'm going to get out to your right side and ahead of you slightly, and if something happens, you just get to that car, start it, and get the heck out of here and send back the police for help. I was also pulled over there one time with this same young lady and her friend who wanted to see it. And a state police officer told me, well, you know, you're not going to be able to protect these girls. And I said, well, maybe, maybe not. I may know this place better than you think I do. And he said, well, you can call us, but we don't respond out here.
Wow.
So that's the truth. I swear my oath.
I believe you, Paul. That's how evil that area is. Unbelievable. Speaking of strange things, July 20th, Monday night, a couple weeks from now, David Politis will be back talking about missing people in parks and all over the place. So make sure you're part of the program. Let's go to Gary in Santa Maria, California. Hello, Gary. What's on your mind?
Oh, plenty. They're making you earn your money tonight, George.
Yes, I am. But you know what? Somebody's got to do it.
I know. Good job. I wanted to ask you, on a scale of 1 to 10, how important do you personally think astrology is in a relationship?
In a relationship?
Yeah, and then I have a question about parents.
I would say probably a 6 or 7 in terms of getting information about that relationship. But in terms of just really important to it, will it make or break a relationship? I'd put a 6 or 7 on it.
I think you're right in the ballpark because there's lots of factors. I mean, there's people can mess up their internal clock by taking Prozac, alcoholism, mental illness. There's, you know, a lot of factors that I don't care if you're supposed to be, you know, the most compatible couple on the planet. There's other things that can be going on in your life that'll set that all askew. But,
oh, sure. It's happened.
With ParanormalDate.com, you know that I'm a member and having a little bit of a tough time finding other members. So I'm not going to identify myself, but I just want your female listeners to know that I'm probably one of the few guys out there that's over 6'7" that's wearing a cowboy hat this profile. At least that'll help me out if it doesn't help anybody else out.
6'7". Did you play basketball in school?
Oh, yeah, quite a bit. And down in South Central L.A. when I was working for Rebuild L.A. after the riots. And that was like some bloody wars. But when I went to, I got them to agree to let me post an astrology chart of myself.
Okay.
And then now I got trouble because I also wanted to post some of my calls to you. And that led me to the permissions department over at Clear Channel. Well, I didn't go anywhere. So I'm still fighting that battle. But I came to the conclusion that, you know, they have the ability of me giving some little gifts to people, a little graphic of flowers or hearts or something. What I would like to do to women that aren't familiar with ParanormalDate.com is send them a Coast Insider membership.
Well, it's inexpensive. It's only 15 cents a day, huh?
Yeah, well, every day of the week, these poor people that are your partners, they get, you know, all kinds of requests to put something up, because you can put a little cash deposit down and buy little things. And but I think they should change the word astrology on their pull-down menu on the profile, since it's not working yet anyway. No comment. They're working on it. But change that to paranormal. Now, they have 43 million people collectively worldwide, and you wanted to hit 1 million people on your Coast Insiders.
Yep.
Now, you're the 600-pound gorilla. When they open their front porch for ParanormalDate.com to come in and George Norrie sat down, life's a little different now. Their standard model that they like to go by may need to be bent a little bit, but you might have to put your finger a little bit on the throttle, agree to some performance goals that I think you can meet, and since you're not selling something that's brick and mortar, you're just selling a membership, maybe a discounted membership for 1 month for Coast Insiders. I would love to give a girl who is not familiar with Coast to Coast a show or a lead in maybe an hour of either where I was on or something that she's interested was discussed. And I think it would be super beneficial for both ParanormalDate.com and Coast Insiders.
All right, let me try to figure out, Gary, how we can pull something like that off. Intriguing. It's going to take a little work, though. Let's go to Eric out there in British Columbia in Canada, where my daughter is right now. Hello, Eric. Welcome to the show.
Hi, George. How's it going?
It's all is well. How about you? Hope it's okay?
Yeah, not too bad. Listen, I was thinking, just how convenient do you think it would be for the 0.01% to have a race war happen in the States so they can clamp down and maybe declare martial law and have an excuse for the economic collapse?
There's a very strong possibility that those people who want the control over us would love to see those kinds of things happen.
Yeah, I hope the alternative media is gonna talk about this, and you know.
Well, we gotta stay above
informed.
It. Oh, yeah.
The mainstream media isn't going to tell us anything, really.
You won't get this from the mainstream media. Eric, thanks. Appreciate that. Let's go next to Anthony in my old hometown of Detroit, Michigan. Hey, Anthony.
Hi. How you doing, George?
Good. I'm fine.
I was trying to get through to talk about a program that was aired on Coast to Coast in the mid-90s. And the guest that was on the program, hopefully you can figure out who it was or what they were, where they got their info from, but maybe follow-up questions and stuff like that on it. But like I said, it was back in the mid-90s,
okay.
And he was talking about Cray Computers, a bank of Cray Computers. I'm not sure if you know what those are, but they're super cool computers.
Yeah.
Back in the mid-90s, they were really, really fast, but they're probably on par with what today is. Who knows? But it was a program that was being run, and it was looking for keywords, and then every time it found a keyword, it expanded the sentence a little bit more and more and more and tell data packets containing what might have some kind of information that could be useful. That was pulled off and then taken a look at by agents and stuff like that. He also went on to explain back during that time, the people in the government were doing, or at least trying to abide by the letter of the law, and were not directly spying on us. We were spying on Britain, and then, you know, trading information back and forth. Britain would spy on us. We'd, you know, spy on, you know, gather up the information, send it to them, have them analyze, turn it around, come back. So we were spying on them, and they were spying on us. So
oh, yeah, and it's still happening.
Spying on us.
So I think what we need to do, you would like that guest's name. I don't remember it because I wasn't here, but maybe somebody who remembers it can send me an email, Anthony, and then I'll put it on, or at least we'll try to track down the show to verify if that was it. At George at coasttocoastam.com. You know what? Who knows? I mean, we've got a litany of listeners that have been with us for a long, long time, so they just might be able to remember that program. A couple little program notes, speaking of that. Don't forget to like us on Facebook. We're coming up on another milestone there. And follow us on Twitter. We send out all kinds of information about the show and events. I'm going to start using it also to tell you a little bit more about what I'm up to. You can just do that at coasttocoastam.com.